the Word of God, and that you will ask for understanding to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, that you will have a mind. We thank God for the songs we heard from Sister Linda and the word from Brother Kobe. We are studying about the heart of a man, and we already have part what, 10?
This is part 11.
This will be 11, which means 11 hours when we complete today. These are study series that will introduce you deeper into the Word of God. That's the intention and the purpose of this church, is that we are appointed, called of God to look into the Word, to look into the Bible, to study the Scriptures. That is what my calling is, to search the Scriptures and to expound, explain the Word of God, which is so precious. An understanding of the Word of God is very, very precious today. We're finding out many things about the heart of a man. We're finding out that only God knows it. Only God understands it. Because scripture that we use a lot is that the heart is the, in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful. This is a very powerful scripture in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Everyone in this church know this scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. But I'm glad that the question is asked, who can know it? And we know the answer, that no one understands or knows his heart, but God knows it. God knows the heart of all men, and he searches the heart of a man. He searches the very deepness, the depth of the wickedness of our and the darkness of our hearts. God knows it. See, and the psalmist, Psalms chapter speaks about chapter 12, I think it is, in the Psalms chapter 12. You have your Bibles ready here, or wherever you are. A Bible is very, very necessary to study the Word of God. So in Psalms chapter 12, started verse 1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man sees it." That's verse 1. Said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man sees this. For the faithful fail from among the children of men." Now, if this happened, and when this happened, and at this time, it's time of darkness. See, at a time when the godly man sees it, and the faithful man fail from among the children of men. So that would leave us with a lot of ungodliness and unfaithfulness. And the wicked, ungodly man is like the troubled sea. And this psalm speaks about the ungodly, the ways of the ungodly man shall perish. So that would cause the wrath of God to come upon us. But look at verse 2 of the same chapter. It says, They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. So when someone is speaking, even with his neighbor, it's vanity. And It's not only doing business, but even speaking about God, we are not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's mixed with the thoughts of men. We are speaking with the tongues of men, and we are not speaking with the tongues of the Holy Spirit. He said they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbors, and because they want you to follow them, they'll do anything. So they flatter you. They will not tell you the truth. They'll not explain the word of God like it is. So they speak with flattering lips. That is to catch you, to deceive you with flattering lips. And notice, with a double, with a double heart, they do speak. So they're speaking with a flattering lips and with a double heart. Now what does that mean if something is double? Is it if the heart is double, could you say that it's a heart that's only one, united in God, united in Christ? If it's double, what does that mean? Inconsistency. That just means that there are two parts to it, and you're thinking two ways. You have your heart and two different things. So you're doubled. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if you if you're speaking with flattering lips, okay, and you have it's coming from a double heart. See, many times we have a heart part for God, but we have another part for something else. See, a double heart. We are going to serve God. We want to serve God. Part of us want to serve God, but the other part wants to do something else. See, a double heart, a heart that is not fixed. Like David said, my heart is fixed in Psalms 57. Said, my heart is fixed, O God. He had a heart that was one with God. David had a heart after God. So it says that a double heart, do they speak? So when they speak, your mind is going both ways. So you don't know which way to go because it is not a clear message. It is not a sincere message. But in verse 3, it says, the Lord shall cut off all. What is he going to do? Cut off all flattering lips. And the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with my tongue will we prevail? Our lips, notice what they say. Our lips are our own. That means I can speak whatever I want to speak. Whatever comes in my mouth is mine. See? I can speak whatever I want to speak. Anything that comes into my mouth, I say it. You see, no control. There's no one that is controlling the lips, the mouth. But now, if the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's double, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, where would that leave us? What condition would we be in? It would be like verse 1 tells us. The godly man sees it. The faithful man fail from among the children of men. Why? Because of the double heart, double speech, and faithful words. See, words that does not express the thoughts of God. So said, who have said? With our mouths, with our tongues, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? See all these questions, these rebellious questions, don't want God. See, your heart can betray you, can deceive you. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. See, God said, I'm going to do something about it. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Wait, somebody, you know when somebody puffeth at you? They want to get you. They're against you. They're going to damage you. They're going to do hurt to you. Oh, yeah. Nobody can stop me. I can say what I want to say to this destroy you. I can destroy a church. Puff. See, I can run that church down. I can run that pastor down. And nobody can stop me. My mouth is my own. You get the message? My lips are mine. See, and the tongue is an evil, wicked member that set the old course of nature on fire. It burns up individual. It burns up it can burn up your nation, the tongue. It can burn up a family. But here's what God says. See, here's what God says. God said, I will set him in safety from him. God said, I'm going to protect him. I'm going to hide my children, my people from the scourge of the tongue. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord. Ah, look at this. See? I will protect him. And so, although you're living in a time of evil and division and double-hearted people, message, the time that we are, you don't sometimes know what to believe. But here's what God said, I will arise and put him in safety against those that puff against him. And verse 6 says, the words, this is powerful, you need to focus on this. The words of the Lord, they are pure. How can you know what you're hearing? How can you understand? Because the word of the Lord, they are pure words, has silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Look at all the how clean and how pure the word of God is. He said, the word of the Lord, they are pure words. Hallelujah. See, they have been tried as silver in a furnace of earth, purified how many times?
Seven times.
Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this. Notice, underline that. From this generation forever. Someone said, oh, they cast the Bible out. Look at what they're doing. There's so many different religion they speak against. And it's our defense. It's a sure foundation. It's a strong tower that the righteous run into it and they are saved. But look at this here, verse 6. The words of the Lord, they are pure words, right? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, if you look in Jeremiah, the 15, and let me see, in Jeremiah, the 15, where the Lord speaks, and Jeremiah speaks about the word of God in the verse 16, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Yes, notice the word of God that's pure. Look at what changes Jeremiah's life when thy words were found and I did heed them. Look at what happened to you when you heed the word. Here's what happened to you. The word of God is pure. And it's tried seven times in a furnace of hurt like silver. Now here's what happened when the word of God enter into you. It changes you. When the word of God get into your spirit, into your heart, it changes you. And in verse 16, when the word of God was found, someone said it was lost, but it was found in the church. You know that? The word of God was found in the temple. Amen. When they found it in the days of Jeremiah, they found the word of God, and this young man got a hold of the word of God, and he had the word of God. He studied the word of God until it got down in his heart. And here's what it did. Thy words were found. Hallelujah. Thy words were found. And I did heed them. You know what? Because men tried to destroy the word, but it was preserved. And it was found. And here Jeremiah said that thy words were found, and I did eat them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you eat the word of God, what's going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you when you eat the word of God? And thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I mean, this whole deceitful heart. But David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How was it going to happen? Only the word of God could do this. No one. Nobody can change your heart. Nothing can change your heart. I mean, give you a new heart. Men try, and we can try to improve on it. But that's the whole art. But the new one, it's not a physical new heart that God gives you, but it's a spirit change, okay, that God puts, implant the heart of God, the nature of God inside of you. He says that I found, the word of God was found, and I did eat them. How did he do it? How can you eat the word of God? Solomon said, oh, taste and see. Taste. He said, eat and drink. My beloved said, I they were found and I did eat them. What do you do with the message? What do you do with the word of God? You just hear it and put it down? No. You begin to make a meal out of it. You begin to use it for your breakfast. Your lunch, seven times a day. Yes. Seven times a day, like Daniel. Like David, meditate upon the word of God day and night. And it tells you that the man that meditates upon the word of God, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruits in a season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. So he found the word, and this young man, he got a hold of the word, and now he had the word of God, and the word of God got a hold of him. You see, it's not just reading the Bible a little bit and say, I have already read it. Yeah, but did it get a hold of you? You've got to meditate in the word of God until it gets a hold of you. It goes down in your heart. Not just when I read it, but it's not doing anything for you. I mean, that doctor gave you a medicine and you just put it down and you read the labels. It's not going to do anything for you. You're going to have to let it go down deep. But I took one of the medicine. If he tells you, you stay in this medicine for 30 days. But you just did it 1 or 2 days and you put it away. There's nothing going to happen to you. And so is the word of God. It's a daily meditation. It's a daily eating. Morning, noon, night. When you wake up, you begin to feast upon the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. The word of God, and they were the joy. Thy words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. But it says, for I am called by thy name. Focus on that now. I am called by thy name. That means that there's a change. Because you're disconnected from the world. You're called by his name. That means the word of God is in you and you become a living epistle.
Amen.
Amen. The word of God changed you where you are a new creature. Where you're like Christ. You're bearing now the image of Jesus Christ. You've been with Jesus. You're called by his name. Hallelujah. The word of God will change you where you have the nature of God. It changed you into the image of God. I'm called by thy name. They cannot call you ungodly anymore. Unfaithful. The wickedness that was in our hearts is gone. Why? Because the word of God changed us. It changed you where you can rejoice. Where you can joy. Where gladness and rejoicing enter into your heart. When you read the word of God, when you feast upon the word of God, it's going to change you. It's going to change your moods, your feelings. You won't be grumpy and always looking so mean and ugly and when it comes to the things of God, but there will be a rejoicing in you. Something got a hold of you. And you're not the same. Why? Because you have that word of God get down in your heart, and when it gets down in your heart, it changes you. They became the rejoicing. Notice what happened. All right, you can rejoice in, well, you just got some money. You just got a car. But that's just temporary. But when the word of God become your joy, hallelujah. When the word of God become your rejoicing, when you feast upon the word of God until it turns you on. You have a praise in your mouth. It put a dance in your feet. It put a clapping in your hands. It put a smile on your face. Laughter and song. A song in your mouth. When you heed the word of God, it's going to change you. And you'll never be the same. He says, I'm called by thy name. O Lord. O Lord God of hosts. And in the 23rd chapter. Let me go to chapter 17 first. In chapter 17. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's just nice. Verse 7 said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Is he your hope? For he, the man that trusts in God, the man that hopes in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See, you see when a man trusts in God? So when you trust in God, although there's unfaithfulness, although there's wickedness in every end, yet there's something inside of you that's everlasting, that endureth forever. Although there's wickedness all around you, yet you are, that label is not pinned on you, but you're called by the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. You're different.
Yes.
And you don't follow the system or what's happening in the world, but our kingdom is not of this world.
Amen.
We are not of this world. And it says here in verse, 9? The heart. Look at this. He is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. God is the only one that can know it. I, the Lord, here's what he does. Here's what he does. He searched the heart. He knows if you have a double heart. He knows maybe your heart is divided in four parts. Or many parts. You ever hear somebody said, "Oh, I really wanted to be in church. Please pray for me that I can come to church." Every time I'm trying to come to church, something come up and distract me. I have something so important that I can't get to church. What are you saying? What are they saying? They don't even know their heart. Because they plan, I'm going to be in church tomorrow. But tomorrow they're not in church. Because their heart was not fixed. They had a heart that could move. And so the devil comes and puts something and attract you. He can be anything. You name it. That distract you. Oh, I'd like to pray. But then something comes up. And you never get to pray or read your Bible. Because there was something more attractive. And your heart was not fixed in God, so your heart moved to that thing. And before you know it, there you are. Church is going on, but you're not there. Because you're led by a different part of your heart. And there you are. You know what I'm talking about. Your heart is not fixed. See, you have a double heart. You have a heart for God, but you have a heart for something else. And that something else is stronger. And you love that something else more, so it pulls you. And it pulls you away. And so you have a divided heart. And it's unstable. No. Let that man, don't let him think that unstable man is going to be in the kingdom. God can never give you a crown. What would you do with it? See? So this heart is so deceitful that only God search it and God knows it. You remember David and his brothers? Samuel didn't know. Samuel, look at these elder brothers, and they're giants and handsome and beautiful, and my God, they look like kings. And Samuel was ready to anoint them. And God said, "No, that's not that one. I have not chosen that one." But and God says, "Don't look on the outside. The talent, the ability, the beauty, how handsome, how tall, how strong, how attractive, what's going on. But look on the heart of that man or that woman."
Amen.
God looks on the heart.
Yes.
And David's brothers, they were handsome and strong. Well, David wasn't as tall. And so they put him outside in the backside of the desert to take care of a few little sheep. They despised him. But there was a heart in David.
Hallelujah.
that was not divided. There was a heart in David that was after God. And God said, don't look on the outside, but look on the heart. Because God searches the heart. When you're there, you don't know when you don't know that every day that God searches you. When you stand there talking or carrying on or going, God knows exactly what you're going to do. And God, we make all those promises, lift our hands up, and the Holy Ghost give us a little touch. And we cry and say, oh God, I will never leave you. I will stand forever. I'll serve you forever. Until the heart, a part of your heart shows up. See? When it's divided, it shows up. And before you know it, all those promises you made to God is never kept. But not so for David. David had a heart that he was going to serve God. Amen. See, that's why he destroyed the giants. Because he knew that his heart was set. Here's what happened. The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Here's what happened. No, look at it. When you have a divided heart, a heart that's carrying over, and you say, oh man, I'm working for God and I'm doing this, but here's what happened. Here's how the Lord describes it. Has the partridge. You know, that's a bird, isn't it? The partridge seated on eggs. And hatchet them not. You know what? The partridge, I think I heard a story that they sits upon eggs that doesn't belong to them. Anything they got. They just like to sit. They just like to gather things under their wings and keep it warm. But that's not your ministry. They like to gather, you know, things and put it on her and sit there. Has the portrait seated on eggs and hatched them not? Can you imagine now? You go to church and nothing is happening because you've got too many eggs. You're in church, but you brought something else and you're sitting on it. you can even praise God. You can't go all the way with God because you... Why can't you praise God? I'm sitting. I got some eggs. That's the word of God there. Yeah. As the portrait seated on eggs and nothing happened. Laboring in vain. Wasting time. No reward. No result. Nothing is being born. No birth. Hallelujah. No winning of souls. They sit it on eggs and hatchet them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days and at the end shall be a fool. He'll have nothing. And this goes on. It's such a beautiful chapter. Okay? It just go on down. And I think there's a scripture in chapter 20 where Jeremiah, verse 9, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, look at that. Jeremiah one time, but remember now, he was feasting on the word of God, and the word of God got down in his heart. But you know, like everybody goes through a time of discouragement, if you want to call it that. Ups and downs. But when you have in your trials, the word of God will help you. Amen. When you're down, the word of God will pick you up. So here in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9, then I said, 20 verse 9, yeah. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Remember, he was called by his name. But something happened now. He said, I'm not going to make mention of him anymore or speak anymore in his name. But look what happened. Look what happened when you put the word of God in your heart. In the time of need, in the time of distress, when you're down, he picks you up. Hallelujah. The righteous man falleth, but seven times he get right back up. He said, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to sing anymore. I'm not going to testify anymore. But did you see how God this morning touched Sister Linda? Did you see how the fire of God was in her bones? Hallelujah. Why? Because the word of God is in her heart and she's called by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Fire. He said, but, I like this word, but. You know I like this word, but. But his word was where? In my heart. How did he get there? Because he found the word of God and he ate the word of God and now he needs help. And what happened? God started a fire. Come on, God started a fire. I'm not going to tell it anymore. But the word of God was in my heart. Hallelujah. Shout glory to God. As a burning fire. Where? In my heart. As a burning fire. Shut up. Shut up. In my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. I tried to stay home. I tried to not preach. I tried to not tell anybody. I tried to not sing and praise God and clap my hands. I tried to sidestep God. I tried to take on other things and get busy. But there was something large in my heart. Come on. I had something in my heart. I listened. It was the word of God. And it became. It became like a burning fire. Fire shut up in my bone. Can you feel the burning? Can you feel the fire? Is it shut up inside of your bones? And I was weary with forbearing. I had to get to church. I had to run. I couldn't stay home. I was sitting there watching the television. I was sitting there doing something else. But I couldn't stay. I had to get up, get dressed, hurry up, get to church. It was a fire. Somebody shout. It was a fire that was shut up in my bones. Woo! Fire! The fire will get you. Where can you run? The fire is there. Where is it? In your heart. It's not the pastor. It's not the church. But it's the word of God that you've heard. And you had that word. It's still down there. And brother and sister, it's burning. I said it's burning. You ought to shout glory. Everybody ought to praise God. The fire was shut up in my bones. Why? Just what John said. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Said, you got the fire inside of you. But I'm not going to have. No, it's inside of you. And all God has to do is begin to fan that fire. Fan the fire. God will send a strong wind, the wind of the Holy Ghost, and stir it up. And before you know it, you'll be shouting and praising God. Something got a hold of you. Where can you run? You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. That fire was in my bones. When that fire got a hold of you, you can't resist the fire. It burns up everything. Are you getting it? When that fire get inside of you, that fire begin to burn until you feel that everlasting love of God. See, when he begin to burn inside, what is he burning up? All the chaff. He's burning up all the unrighteousness. He's changing you from having a divided heart. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and what a ministry does. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. See what the word of God is to bring us into the unity of the faith. Verse 13. The pastor, the ministry, is to God use the ministry. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. And the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now notice that you were in a church, you're dealing with many hearts. But before I go further, in Isaiah 61 verse 1. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Look what Jesus' ministry was. Look at Isaiah 61. Put it up there quick. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, here's what he said. This is Jesus speaking now in the temple. It's fulfilling the temple. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Focus. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to, look, to what? Bind up brokenhearted. And you see it right there and said, oh, he sent you to bind up brokenhearted. So you figure it's only somebody out there that's discouraged that they might lost a loved one. Or their boyfriend break up with them, or their girlfriend, or you name it, they lost their job, so they're brokenhearted. All right. That's okay. Go ahead and stop there. But don't stop there. Amen. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. Bind up the brokenhearted. How? See? The brokenhearted would be Psalms 12 verse 2. Yes. That spoke of a double heart. Yes. And all of us had that. We had a heart for something and a heart for something else. So Christ came now to give us one heart. Yes. To bind up that brokenhearted. Yes. He came to give us one heart. Yes. Hallelujah. And in Ezekiel, where is it? The 11th chapter. Go there quickly and I come back here in closing. Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. Verse 19. Verse 19. Thank you.
And I will give them one heart.
Ezekiel 11 verse 19 says, and I will give them
one heart.
One what? Heart. Why? Why? Because they had a double heart. Their hearts were broken. Their hearts was divided. Unstable. Because of the fall. Because of the depravity of our nature. verse 9, is it? Yeah, verse 19. And I will give them, who's going to do it? I will give them one heart. What did he do? How are we going to get one heart when you had a double heart? We had many hearts. And he's going to give us one heart. He came to bind them up. He came to bind up the divided heart, the broken heart, to make it one. And how is he going to make it one? In Ephesians chapter 4, he gave a ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all have one heart. The unity of the faith. One heart, become not divided, not many hearts, but we become united in Christ. So he came to bind up the broken heart. How is he doing it? By the ministry. Hallelujah. He gave them shepherds after his own heart to bind up the broken heart. And to bring us back into one where we have a heart that's fixed upon God. We have a relationship with God. See, so he said, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit, shout. A new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. And will give them a heart, a flesh. Look what God's going to do. He's going to take out that stony heart. Remember, there's wayside heart. There's a thorny. And all of these divisions. But God says, I'm going to take out the stones. Somebody ought to shout. He's going to take out that hardness. And give your heart a flesh tender. He's going to take the hardness away. And going to give us a tender heart. A excellent spirit. And what's going to happen when he gives you this? You're going to come into the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That they may walk in my, verse 20, my statutes and keep mine ordinances. And do them. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. Hallelujah. See, that's what he's going to do for his people. But verse 21 says, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of the detestable things and the abominations, I will recompense their ways upon their own heads, said the Lord. Okay? That's what he'll do. So you don't want to have a heart that depart from God. Like in Hebrews where it tells us that it speak about the evil heart of unbelief that depart from the true and living God and walk in their own ways. I do what I want to do. I'll go to church if I want to go to church. I'm not care what the pastor say. It's not the pastor. It's not the pastor. It's God said. God said it. You're dealing with God. You're facing, boy, I tell you, the scripture said it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hand of the mighty God. He's a consuming fire. And he knows what's in the heart. You know the thoughts of the heart. And here, he tells you that. That I'll give them one heart and they will walk in my ways, my statutes, my laws, my judgment, the perfect law of liberty, the ordinance. They'll walk in love. The fruits of the Spirit. And I will. Look what it says. And I will be what? I will be their God. What a greater. There's nothing greater than that. I will be their God. I will give them one heart. And they will walk in my ways. One heart to serve me. and I will be their God. Notice that I will be their God. That's more than just getting a car. That's more than just getting a lot of money. Or it doesn't matter if you get the whole world. If the world open up to you, good, take the money. Okay, so you can do something for the work of God. But that's not it. When if you get $1 million, you've not yet struck the gold mine. You've not yet struck pay dirt. Pay dirt is when you walk in the ways of God and he give you himself and he become your God and you become his people. That's what the scripture is talking about. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. So what are you working for? And that's what got the churches today. And the people sitting out there don't know the scriptures. But all they're looking for is a Rolex watch. Come on, don't let preachers or let anybody fool you. It's God is our inheritance. Amen. And so you set your affection on things above, not on the earth, where put your treasures in heavenly places where God is, and no thieves or nothing can break through and steal it. So back to, he's going to give you one heart. So I'm showing you in closing in Ephesians now. Chapter 4, we were just there. Verse 12. But if you notice that he gave us the ministry in verse 11. He gave some apostles, what verse? Verse 11. He gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For what reason? For the perfecting. So the saints of God would walk in the ways of God, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the education, knowledge, edifying, bring them into understanding. Let the darkness roll away. Turn them from darkness to light, from Satan, the power of Satan, to the knowledge of God. Hey! That's what they're given for. Yeah. For the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Verse 13. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge. Understanding. That means knowledge, light, oil. Amen. Of God. Said of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, you got to measure up. You got to grow up in him. Yes. Length, breadth, depth, height, everywhere. Growing up in him in knowledge. So you can comprehend with all saints. That we henceforth be no more children. You know, little kids, they get upset. Because pastor didn't do it the way. You know, it's like running over. Mommy, Johnny took my toy. They come, oh, you know this is the pastor? Oh, he does it. I don't like that. So, you know, that's bad spirit. You're going to fall that way. Yeah. I know more than the pastor. Really? How come you're in trouble? How come you don't know the word of God? Well, I know the word of God, quoting two verses of scripture. You know, you take out two pieces out of the puzzle and say, look what I've got. Complete the puzzle. That means the whole knowledge of God. Yeah. Go on. How much do you know? Well, I can quote verses after, really? But you quote them out of context. They don't match like that puzzle that you have. Now you need to put these verses in places and get the mind of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and unto the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking, here it is, you know, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But go on down. For from whom the whole body joined together and compacted, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, notice here, of their mind. Oh, look at me. What does that mean? The vanity of your mind means nothing is up there. Look at me. Not just this, but it's the mind of your understanding. There's nothing up there. It's like your natural mind. You ever see some? There's nothing up there. They have a head, and but there's nothing in there. You put a name on it. I'm not mocking anybody, but so there's nothing there. So you got to put knowledge in there. That's why you go to school, to educate. Otherwise, there's nothing in there. Well, the same thing for God. There's nothing in there. That's why the five foolish virgins, they had nothing in there. They had lambs, but there's nothing in there. No knowledge. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. It's not talking about the world now. We have the natural man, the natural world. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual man. There's nothing up there. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that, remember we had that scripture about some men have not the knowledge of God. Some men have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That means they had no light, no oil, no understanding. And said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, having the understanding. Notice. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Be alienated from the life of God. Why? Why? Because there's nothing there. No knowledge there. Because of the ignorance. Ha ha ha. The ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart. Now, the ignorance that's in them. You ever see the talk to the man? They get upset and get mad and begin to, you know, read the body language. They're ignorant. You see? They're ignorant. There's nothing in there. They're empty, but they think they know it. Try talking to them about God. Oh, I already know that. And they walk away, shrug their shoulder. Ignorant. But they know it. They're deceived. And they're blind. Because of the ignorance, not knowledge that's in them. Some man know it not the knowledge of God, but it's the ignorance of God that is in them. Because Satan had blinded the minds of them who believe not. If you resist the word of God, Satan stamp it out. The light. And the light that is in you become darkness. And if the wise virgin had knowledge, the wise virgin was brought into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. But the foolish did not. So they became blind and dark. No knowledge. And so they were ignorant. The scripture said it's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. Okay. Okay. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the old body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measures of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, and so on. Okay, we stop there. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise.